Have you ever been before a judge? Maybe. Taking the fifth. Have you ever been before a judge knowing you're guilty? Hoping for some miracle that he's going to just let you off scot-free when all the evidence is contrary to that. I was driving downtown Portland one day, and I was looking, so this was my first trip to Union Gospel Mission. I wasn't familiar with the area. I was looking around for the address, and I looked up, and a yellow light was just about to turn red, and I was not able to stop in time, so I went through it, and there was a big flash of light. A few weeks later, I received a letter in the mail, and it had my truck's license plate, and my beautiful face peering through the windshield. No doubt, it was me. Couldn't contest it. And so I had to pay. By the way, if my wife is listening, she had made a deal with me. There she is. That if I ever get any more tickets, because I used to get several, a lot, I'm confessing. She said, if you get a ticket, you're going to have to pay me the same amount you give to the court. By the way, I paid you for that one, honey. Just to let you know. I remember I was driving in Mississippi down Highway 26, leaving the house in my dad's green Chevy pickup truck. I turned left on Fire Tower Road, and when I did, I goosed the gas, and the little truck started doing this and throwing gravel. Man, I was excited. But little did I know that Dad, who was a pastor, was sitting on the front porch of a person he was visiting on the corner of 26 and Fire Tower Road. He was judge and jury. So I knew, of course, when I got home that he had been sitting there, but I didn't know it at the time. And I still had a great time with that truck until I got home. We're going to be preaching on judgment again. Actually, I've got one more sermon, I think. And you say, oh, Pastor Brad. Not another sermon on judgment. Well, let me tell you this. My dad said he preached 52 sermons on hell. That's a lot. My brother asked him, Dad, how in the world can you preach 52 sermons on hell? He said, well, you've got to be full of your subject. Well, hopefully I'm not full of my subject this morning. But it's important that we understand that there is a judgment coming. But if you are a Christian, it's not something you have to fear. If you're a Christian and a Jesus follower, it's something that you can look forward to. Someone asked me last week, Pastor, are you ever going to preach on heaven? And you know, I think I will. I think it's going to be a series, if the Lord continues to lead, after next Sunday. I think I'll be finished with the judgment. But next week, I just want to let you know that I'm going to be talking about, did you know that there may be others in heaven that will judge us other than Jesus? We'll talk about that. Also, I want to talk about, let me find where I am here. Also, I want to talk about, did you know that there were different degrees or levels of hell? I want to talk about that next week as well. And also, we're going to talk about why must God punish sin. So we'll talk about that, if we have time. That's a lot to try to get in a short amount of time, so if I don't get it all, guess what? Part 15. And justice for all. You know, we have in our pledge of the United States of America, we have a section in there, a phrase that says, with liberty and justice for all. There are times when I watch the news or read the papers or read what's on the internet, and I find that it doesn't appear that justice is always served. Sometimes it appears if you have enough money to get the best lawyer, then there are things that are overlooked in the case of law. However, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne, we may or may not have a lawyer to speak for us. And depending upon your relationship with Christ, did you know if you are a Christian that you will actually have a lawyer standing in the presence of God? Did you know? Some of you knew that. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture, and it's found in 1 John 2:1, and it says this, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." So who is your lawyer? Jesus is your lawyer. This is what advocate means. A person who pleads for or in behalf of another, an intercessor, a person who pleads the cause of another in a court of law. Isn't that exciting? That when you stand before the judge, the eternal judge, you're not going to be standing there alone, but Jesus Christ will be standing there with you, and He will plead your case. Isn't that marvelous? Praise the Lord, praise. So if you're a Christian, you know what? You don't have a whole lot to fear, do you? There's nothing to fear if you are a believer in Christ, you're a follower of His. Let me share with you a couple of instances where the Lord stood in the place and was an advocate. One of the places is found in Jude chapter 1, verse 9. But says that this is an interesting passage. When the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke it." So, we don't know. You remember Moses, and he went up on this mountain, and he died, and nobody knows where he died. They don't know where his tomb is to this day. never have found him. The Lord just said, Moses, you're not going to go in the promised land, so you're going to die in the land, but you're going to look over into the promised land, you're going to die. Well, when he died, there evidently was a dispute over Moses between Satan and between Jesus about who was going to get his soul. That's curious, isn't it? So does the enemy dispute over everyone who dies? Possible. I mean, if they're going to dispute over Moses, I mean, he was a pretty big deal. Okay? He was a pretty big deal. If they're going to dispute over him, they're probably going to dispute over some little people like us. Right? Well, look at this other one. In Zechariah chapter 3, 1 through 5, Zechariah is seeing a vision, and he says, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. It makes me wonder if when we get to heaven and the Lord is pronouncing judgment, Satan is, I think he's going to be there. And he's going to be accusing us, just like he's accusing us now. He's the accuser. Scripture says in Revelation 12 that he stands before the Father day and night, or before God day and night, accusing us. And so he's still, in this Scripture, he's accused. He accused Moses. He accused Joshua the high priest. He accuses everyone on earth. And I think when we stand in the judgment, that he's going to be accusing us and pointing out everything we did wrong and why he should get us rather than God. So, he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now, Joshua was standing before the angel, and he was clothed with filthy garments. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." To him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So he put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. Jesus was Moses' advocate. Jesus was the advocate for Joshua the high priest. And he will be your advocate as well. And he's going to say to Satan, "Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You have no part in the life of this individual. They belong to me." Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So here's the thing. Everyone who's ever lived from Adam to this present time and in the future will stand in the judgment. But only the believers will have a lawyer. Only the believers will have a lawyer. Now, what will we be judged for? We will be judged for the things we say. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, it says, "I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak." Received a phone call the other day. Now, this is kind of funny, but it's not funny. answered the phone. The fellow on the other end said, "Hey, Brad, how you doing?" I said, "Good, how are you doing?" And he started telling me about some things going on in his life. And about every three sentences, he would use the SH word and other words, and he would use the Lord's name in vain, and I knew he had the wrong Brad. So I let him go on a while, asked him about this and that, and he'd go on, and every other word, well, every other sentence, they'd pop up this word. Then I asked him, I said, "Hey, are you still going to church over at da-da-da-da-da-da-da?" He said, "How did you know?" I said, "Oh, well, I have a friend that went over there, and he said you went over there." There was a pause. He said, "Is this Pastor Brad?" And you know, we carried on about three or four more minutes, and he never did. He never said another word that way. Now, I appreciate him having respect for me, and I appreciate him not using that language with me. But did you know I'm not his judge? Did you know that? I hope he calls me again sometime. I don't know if he ever will. But I'm not his judge, and I'm not going to condemn him. But I want to ask you a question. Do you use a different type of language around me than you do when you're somewhere else? And did you know that God hears every word? And that I'm not the one you have to answer to? But Scripture says that we will be judged for every idle word. And we'll either be rewarded for it or we'll be punished for it. Every idle word. That should be a little sobering for many of us. I try to be the same person in the pulpit that I am out in the world. Do I ever fail? Of course I do. But we need to be very careful about the things that we say. We're also going to be judged for the things we do. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 33 through 46, it's kind of a lengthy passage, but I would like to read it to you. It says, "He will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats at his left." We looked at that last week, right? We were talking about the judgment. And when we come to the white throne judgment, he places that's in Revelation chapter 20. He places the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. Those who know Christ on the right hand, those whose names are in the book of life on the right hand side, those whose names are not in the book of life on the left hand side. And people are wondering, why did I get chosen to be here? Why did I not get chosen to be there? And he says, he will place the sheep at his right hand, the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world." Now, I'll get back to that when I get to heaven, okay? I don't want to dwell a lot of time on that. But for you who are believers, before the creation of the world, God prepared a place for you. We'll get to that, but not today. He says, "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. The king will turn to those on the left and say, Away with you, you cursed ones, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. They will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Now, you need to understand this. Jesus is not indicating that a person receives heaven because of the good works they do. Nor is he saying that a person is rejected from heaven because of not doing good. That's not what he's saying. It has already been established that you receive heaven by receiving Jesus, and that you are not a person who is going to heaven if you reject Jesus. You're going to go to hell according to Scripture. If you are a child of God, what this passage teaches us is that any good thing you do for someone else, particularly a Christian brother or sister, you're doing it for Jesus. And He's going to reward you because it's just like doing it for Him. When Mary gives me eggs, you may not realize it, but he's getting rewarded for that. He's not going to see those rewards right now. Some of them he may, but he's not going to see all the rewards that he gets. When you do something for someone else, you're not going to see perhaps the rewards you're going to get, but there's an eternal reward. Scripture says that even if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you will in no wise lose your reward. You remember those books in heaven? We talked about the books at the judgment seat. The books. One of them is the books of life. I think one of them is this word. But I think one of the books too is the books of rewards because of works well done. Isn't that precious? Did you know that God doesn't... You may not remember things that you've done for someone else, but God remembers. And He's not going to allow that to just be cast off. He's not going to allow that. He will say, do you remember when... And here's I think when we get to heaven, our memory is going to be a lot clearer than it is now. And with things we don't remember now, we'll probably remember then. But you remember when you did this for so-and-so? Yeah, well, here's your reward. You remember when you did that? Here's your reward. Oh, you remember, Brad, whenever I told you to help this person and you didn't help? Well, this is what you could have had. I don't know if it's going to be like that. But I think about that sometimes. What rewards will I lose? What rewards will I lose? Did you know that this life is not all there is? And a lot of times we put so much effort and energy and strain into accumulating stuff here that we may be paupers in heaven. I hope my rewards are such that the Lord can say to me, "Well done, Brad, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And I just want to say it one more time. A person who is not a child of God can do good works, and they can do a lot of good things. They can give blood to the, you know, Red Cross, and they can volunteer and different things, and they can do all kind of good things. But if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then there's really no hope for you
to receive any good works.
Bring to God's Word. So a person must come to a place where they receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. The reward for that is heaven. The reward for good works is whatever comes, whatever God just blesses you with after that, crowns, and you. We'll get to that. But you are judged on the things you do. So you're judged on the things we, what? And the things we are also judged on the motives of our heart. 1 Corinthians 4, 4 and 5 says, Paul says, "My conscience is clear," but that doesn't prove anything. "It is the Lord Himself who will examine me and decide." So, we are not to make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns, for He will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. So our motives are judged by the Lord. Each one of us will give an account not of just the things we say or the things we do, but also what has been the motive of our heart. Have you ever had a good motive sometime and really tried to do well and somebody misinterpreted it? It's like, man, I really intended. You know what, God, people judge you by your actions, by your words. God judges the motives of your heart. God judges the motives of your heart. If your motives are not right, for instance, let's just say that you do a lot of great things, but your motive is so that people can applaud you or give you kudos. Good job, Tom. So they can praise you. That's your motive. And you want the accolades of men. If that's your motive, guess what? That's all the reward you get. That's all the reward you get. So, if I give of my wealth, Scripture says, if I give of my wealth so that other people can say, "Whoo, look at, boy, that Brad, what he gave. Look what he gave to church. Oh, look at me. I'm so happy with myself. I hope you're happy with me too." God says that I have already received my reward if I do it for the praise of men. As a matter of fact, Scripture says, "Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." And sometimes my wife don't let me know what she's doing. She just does it. And you know what? I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Here's what I know. I know that I will have to answer for the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that. I know that I will have to answer for the way I lead this church. I know that. I know this is something I must give an account for. I know that I will have to give an account for every word spoken. I'll have to give an account everything I did. And I will have to give an account for the motives of my heart. There will be great rewards for those who know Christ. Tremendous rewards. There are some who will suffer loss. Even as Christians, they will suffer loss, because they were not faithful to the Lord. We judge the outward appearance. God judges the heart. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Serve willingly, even if nobody sees it. Serve willingly, even if no one says anything to you. Serve willingly. Serve the Lord with gratefulness, even if nobody knows it or cares, because God cares. And He knows. He will reward you. It was an old missionary couple who had served for many years in Africa. They were returning to New York City on a ship, and they were arriving back in the United States. They were retiring, but they had no pension. Their health was broken. They were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. They discovered they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from one of his big game hunting expeditions in Africa. No one paid much attention to the missionaries. But of course, there was a lot to do about President Roosevelt. And everyone was trying to catch a glimpse of that famous man. But no one on the ship knew who this missionary couple was. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president's entourage. As the ship moved across the ocean, the old missionary said to his wife, "Something is wrong. Why should we have given our lives in faithful service for God in Africa all these many years and have no one to care a thing about us? Here this man comes back from a hunting trip and everybody makes much over him. But nobody gives two hoots about us." The wife said, "Dear, you shouldn't feel that way." He said, "I can't help it. It doesn't seem right." When the ship docked in New York, a band was waiting to greet the president. The mayor and other dignitaries were there. The papers were full of the president's arrival, but no one noticed this missionary couple. They slipped off the ship, found a cheap flat on the east side, hoping the next day to see what they could do to make a living in the city. That night, the man's spirit broke. He said to his wife, "I can't take this. God is not treating us fairly." His wife replied, "Why don't you go into the bedroom and tell that to the Lord?" "That's all right. We'll wait just a second." If it's the Lord, See if he's got a message for us. Yeah, that's why I leave my... Dan called me one day when I was preaching. And he was sitting in the back. Yeah, on purpose. Said that night the man's spirit broke and he said to his wife, "I can't take this. God is not treating us fairly." His wife replied, "Why don't you go into the bedroom and tell that to the Lord?" A short time later, he came out from the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. And his wife asked him, "Dear, what happened?" He said, "The Lord settled it with me. I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming, where no one met us as we returned home. When I finished, it seemed as if the Lord put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, 'But you're not home yet.'" You're not home yet. You're not home yet. You may feel like everything you do has just been wasted. You may be in the place that these missionaries are where you don't feel appreciated for what you do. But I want you to know you're not home yet. When you get home, there will be loved ones waiting on you. The Lord will be waiting on you. And you will not lose your reward. This morning, I don't know where you are in your relationship with Christ. I don't know if you've made that decision to follow Him, to say, "You know what? I'm tired of living the life I've been living, and I'm going to choose Jesus today. I'm going to follow Him. Today, I'm going to make that decision. I'm tired of..." Some of you may have been here and say, "Well, I think I might, but then no. Or I've tried that." You can't try it. It's either all in or nothing. I tried it for 20 years, 22 years. You don't try it. It's either... It's a trust factor. And you have to either get in or get out. That's simply the way it is. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. And when you do, when you ask Him to forgive you, truly mean it, and say, "I'm going this direction," you will have an advocate, Jesus, as your lawyer. He will plead your case. And the judge will say, "Pardoned. Sins are not held against you." Some of you may be discouraged this morning because of just the way life has been. But I want you to know that life is not over. God has something for you. You're not home yet. You're not home. So I want to encourage you. Some of you have gone through a lot of struggles. Don't let these struggles take you out or take you down. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing on. Victory is yours. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for your word to us. Jesus, I thank you that you're going to be my lawyer. I thank you that you're going to plead my case, that you're going to vindicate me. And Lord, that things will be settled, and that I have a home in glory. Lord, I pray for this congregation. Lord, you know where they are. In their speech, in their actions, in their motives. Lord, you know if a lot of selfish things or it's all about you. And so, Lord, we just come before you and we ask that you would do in our hearts what we need to do, that you need to do, and Lord, that we will commit our lives to you once and for all. All in. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.